You guys in a Christmas spirit? No. We're going to help out a little bit today, Fred. You guys ready to do a little Christmas caroling?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes you go to these liturgical churches and they do a responsive reading. Other times they do Christmas carols. I want to kind of do a collision between the two and do a responsive Christmas carol. Okay. We're not going to read it, though. Because you ought to know it by now. If you don't know it by now, just listen to everybody else. Thank you, Gus. So I'll sing a line. Yes, you heard it right. Me, 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 la, la, oh, ee, ah. Walla, walla, bing, bang. Ready? Deck the halls with boughs of holly. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Don we now our gay apparel. What the heck is gay apparel? Very good, very good. Give yourself a hand. There's still time. You can run out the back door. Anyway, truly, what the heck is gay apparel? I mean, we sing it every year. Let's just stop for a moment and pause and say, well, what am I talking about here? What is gay apparel? What is gay apparel? Clothing. Happy clothing, cheery clothing.
A very old song. Are you saying it doesn't mean what we might think it means?
Now, whatever it means, and I mean whatever it means, I would submit to you that today it means a whole heck of a lot, possibly more, than it meant back in 1881 when they first published the words of these songs. How many would agree with that? I mean, today, who knows what that could possibly mean? I don't even want to venture. Now, you know, if that makes you uncomfortable saying, John, you're just not being fair, you're being condescending, you know, that's bigoted, that's really homophobic and all this kind of stuff. Well, pull up Google and type in our gay apparel and see what comes up. I did it last night. Yeah. So, Tom, if you search the hard drive and find that, that's what that was all about, okay? Don't start calling the elders. You wouldn't believe what I found on his hard drive. Pumps. If you do that, if you happen to do that search, I'll tell you what you'll find. For instance, you'll find several different links. You'll find a place that is, in fact, called OurGayApparel.com. And what they say is that they basically advertise gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender shirts, buttons, stickers, and jewelry all in one place. You can get it right here. You don't have to go anywhere else. You will also find a link in an advertisement for Gaymart. Not Kmart. Gaymart, where they say, kid you not, God is my witness, where they say gay style sets trends. It's what straight people take fashion from. Or at least in, I guess, you know, well, nobody here anyway. I don't want to get in trouble. Praise God. So, and that's just the start. And also, you will find there are a host of other things. That's right. She's saying, amen. Man, she's probably been there. Search that site out. You will find that and a host of other things that are just, you know, they're frankly entertaining. I mean, if you want to just be honest about it, I'm like, no, you didn't have that there. But a lot of other things that would have been absolutely beyond question, unthinkable. unthinkable in 1881. Absolutely off the charts in 1881 where this song was written. But here we are in 2009. Things have changed a little bit. These things are not only becoming more and more and more commonplace, but we're standing literally at a crossroads in our country. And what we do in our country at this hour has huge implications. And I'm not simply talking politics. I'm talking about as a culture, as a people, as a society, where we go, what we adopt as our worldview and our perspective of reality, and then how we live that out, has huge implications for generations to come. This is not just a marginal issue. This is foundational to what happens in the future of our country. And it is frankly inescapable. We are saturated in our society with this issue. We see it on every side. Everywhere you turn, this thing is coming up. In the media, in our educational system, on the radio, on the street, in the marketplace, in our families, amongst our friends. You just cannot escape it. And so, as Christians, we need to be prepared to give intelligent, compassionate, gracious, winsome, persuasive answers to those who come to us with their questions. You may be the only Christian they speak to about this issue. And where will they get truth in a gracious, winsome way if not from you and me? And you may have no idea when it's about to come. I would like to ask Jenny to come up today, as I mentioned last week, and share a testimony of something that took place in her life recently. Jenny, if you'd like to come on up and share that. Oh, yes.
Is it on?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Now you can hear me. Okay. This happened November 13th, so 3 weeks ago Friday. I remember it fairly clearly, although I'll be honest with you, it was a very emotional experience when it happened. We had a half day at school for the students, and the teachers had a work day afterwards. And quite often when we do that, and there's just not that many of us, there's five middle school teachers and our boss, so a total of six of us. And what we do on a day like that is we all bring something in and we have a luncheon together before we spend the afternoon individually doing our work. So we're having this beautiful luncheon, the six of us ladies sitting at a table talking, and it was nice. Keep in mind, I teach in a supposedly Christian school. And we're talking, and I won't give you the whole background, but basically, quite suddenly, the whole tone of the table changed. The whole mood changed when one person looked across the table at me and said, "You think homosexuality is a sin?"
Well,
there were many things I wanted to say, but what I did say was, well, yes, I do think it's a sin. And I, just like I think it's a sin to call in sick when you're not really sick, knowing that the teacher next to me does that all the time. All right, I forgot I was supposed to be winsome. Those of you who know me know that the winsome part somehow comes in way behind the winning the argument part. Anyway, so of course I said, you know, well, yeah. And immediately it was five people. I don't know how the people who had been on my side of the table suddenly seemed to move over there, but psychologically they had moved over there and I was over here by myself. And of course they were basically saying, you know, well, who are you to say that that's a sin? And I said, well, it's not me. I didn't decide it was a sin. It wasn't my decision. God says it's a sin. You know, I mean, if it were up to me, things would be different. But I'm not God. God says it's a sin. So then somebody said, even Jesus said, judge not. Who am I to stand in judgment of someone else? And who are you? And I said, you know, the Lord didn't mean by that that we can't discern right from wrong. He simply meant don't condemn someone else when you too are a sinner. And I'd like to let you think that this was all like a really simple two-minute discussion, but this actually went on for almost an hour and a half. It was an incredible bombardment that came really, I was really felt blindsided by the whole thing because, you know, I teach in a Christian school. Hello? You know, I go to work and I don't expect to be, well, I felt attacked, in all honesty. I felt absolutely attacked. and I did remain calm, that as you, those who know me know that that was obviously God. But it wasn't comfortable at all. It was very uncomfortable. I felt like people that I've been working with, you know, for a couple of years, and you know me, I have good relationships with people.
Amen.
All of a sudden, Amen. I felt like, I mean, as I'm standing there trying to stand for the Lord and stand on truth, you know, there's that other part of me that's like, they're never going to talk to you again. They are going to hate you. They probably won't even want to hire you back next year because they'll be like, oh my gosh, she's such a lunatic. We don't want her in here with us. Whatever, whatever. So I had a lot of things going on in my head at the time that made it more difficult than it maybe could have been for someone else. The other thing that came up was, you know, people today, and I have lived in the ivory tower. I have defended the ivory tower with every bit of my being. So I know those arguments. And, you know, they made the argument to me, well, you know, people can't help it. If they're gay, they're just gay. They can't help it that they're gay. It's biological. And so I simply said, I have to just ask you this. I just need to ask this question. So on the one hand, you're telling me that you believe everything that biology tells you, and you're saying that scientists are telling you that homosexuality is biological. But, and you also, you believe in evolution, right? And well, of course they do. They all believe in evolution too. I could have been there for days. Anyway, and I said, so you believe that we humans have evolved like all the other animals on the planet? Yes. I said, well, don't you find it kind of interesting then that you see homosexuality in humans, but you don't see homosexuality in other species? I mean, seriously, how often do you see your you know, boy dog trying to mate with another boy dog? Perhaps with a leg, but not often another boy dog. When you do see homosexuality in other species, it's not truly sexuality at all. It's dominance.
Yes.
It's dominance. It's not sexuality at all. And so I said to them, I just have to ask you, how do you entertain, how do you manage to hold both of these things in your mind at the same time? And what they said was, well, I just don't think about that. I said, well, there's the difference between you and me. I think about everything. And all of my thoughts have to make sense together. And I have been where you are, and those things won't hold together. The framework will fall apart. But you have to figure that out for yourselves. Anyway, there was obviously a lot more to the conversation, but it was very uncomfortable. It was very, I felt very threatened. I felt like I let the Lord down, that I, you know, just should have been more ready. should have had a whole list of all the right things to say and the scriptures to point to. And speaking of which, one of them said to me, well, you know, there's a lot of mistakes in the Bible. And of course, me being me, I couldn't help but say, Gretchen, how much do you study your Bible? I know that wasn't winsome. But I couldn't help it. And of course she said, well, and I said, exactly. But then my boss said, I go to seminary every summer. I study my Bible and there are mistakes. And I said, I will cede to you that there are mistakes in translations, but will you not admit that none of those, quote, mistakes are doctrinal? There are no mistakes that affect the doctrine of Christianity. And she agreed that that was indeed the case. Anyway, it was a long day. And they, like, after bombarding me for literally about an hour and a half, and I stood my ground, and that was probably the best I could do, was just to stand my ground. And I, you know, I said some things, because that's who I am. Wouldn't have taken so long if I had just folded. And I do want to say that you know, I know that every single one of us believes in our heart that if somebody came up to you and put a gun to your head and said, would you die for your Jesus, that every single one of us would say, amen, put that bullet in my brain. But sometimes that quick, certain death is easier to face than that social death that might occur. That can be really hard to face. And again, you know me, I'm a pretty, you know, relationship-driven individual, and it was very, very scary. I spent that weekend, I mean, that was a Friday afternoon, and when people left, boy, they left that room. Nobody said another word to me, and it was very uncomfortable, and I had the rest of the afternoon to sit there and work and stew and think and pray, and when I left there, the first thing I did was call my pastor. Because I was very uncomfortable and I was upset about the possibility of nobody likes me anymore. But I was very upset that I hadn't been as winsome as perhaps I could be. I figure God knows me. He knew that was going to happen. But I think that, like me, you would walk away from it feeling that I just felt like I let them down, that I wasn't as prepared as I wish I had been. I think I'm kind of prepared, too. I think I'm somebody who tries to be prepared, you know. I am a thinker. I try to be prepared, and I was so caught unaware. Mm. And so off guard and so not ready. And that was the part I really struggled with, was feeling like I had let the Lord down, that I hadn't been the soldier that he expects me to be. But I'm more at peace with it today than I was 3 weeks ago. That's it. Just be ready, because they're coming.
That's right.
When you least expect it. It's not just going to happen if you happen to walk into a gay bar by accident or the gay apparel store. Yeah. It's going to happen even among those people that you thought the same way you did.
Yes.
That's it. That's my story.
Thank you, Jenny. God bless you, dear.